With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Why don't you ask me what it feels like to be a freak?
The power of a new generation.
Greetings, and you are listening to Savage Science Radio here at Jackalope 105 FM, and I am your host, Tracy Savage. Let's get into the mood for tonight's show with some tunes.
When you got it fired up! When you got it fired up!
Generically made. Would have missed all the madness. I saw a flower. A dream that was creeping, I kept in my sight, and then it turned and it took me and exposed me and shook me. Beauty that screams I'm alive.
Attachment formation and technology overuse? Should we be worried? Well, we all do it. We all at some time or another prefer to pick up the remote or BlackBerry or connect to the internet or TV rather than have a conversation with our spouse, children, or coworkers. Sometimes connecting to the virtual world is just easier than connecting to humans, and at first glance appears to be a lot more interesting and exciting. Let's face it, for years, human relationships have proven complex, confusing, and downright difficult, resulting in a myriad of self-help books, therapists, and even divorce. What is unique about human relationships in the 21st century is that the performance bar has now been set higher. To get a little bit of love and human connection, parents, children, and workers are now required to compete with the seductive lure of technology, which is threatening the very fabric of life as we used to know it. While change in technological advancement can have a positive impact on society, if it's unmanaged and unregulated, the results can be devastating. Family, school, and workplace environments are now on the verge of what can be termed the triple disconnect from self, others, and nature. Identity and attachment formation can only happen in relationship to others and is best facilitated in nature-based settings. Now, connection to technology is causing disconnection from what we used to hold dear and close to our hearts. We find ourselves growing more and more concerned regarding the impact of technology on the 21st century family structure and primary attachment formation. Human attachment is a biological need, without which we would die. For hundreds of years, human beings have been a pack animal with an established intrinsic role and purpose. While technology was designed for human efficiency, it's also had the effect of distancing humans from each other, diminishing the need for this human pack. Can human beings adapt to this growing sense of isolation from each other? And what will be the impact on young infants and children who have little to no contact with their parents? One has to ask this question. Now, here are a few of the theories that have been applied to this exact situation. Now, attachment theory, John Bowlby, a British psychoanalyst in the 40s and 50s, identified that every human being requires a quote-unquote secure base from which they can move out into the world and a safe haven where they can return to organize themselves. Bowlby defined attachment as an emotional bond between parent and child and is essential for survival as the attachment bond allows the child to get their needs met. Mary Ainsworth, a developmental psychologist in the 50s and 60s, designed a method to test Bowlby's theory and discovered three distinct attachment behavior patterns, which were categorized as follows. Type A is an avoidant attachment where the parent rejects, neglects, or ridicules the child. Type A children minimize emotion when distressed, repress their feelings, and become overly reliant on self to get their needs met. Type A children recognize the parent's need to not be needed. Then there's type B, which is a secure attachment where the parent is consistent, predictable with the child, and the child learns they can get their needs met simply by expressing their needs. And then there's type C, an ambivalent attachment where the parent is unpredictable and inconsistent with the child. Type C children show extreme negative emotion when distressed, excessively express their feelings, and become overly reliant on others to get their needs met. Type C children give up me to be with you. Now, the impact of technology on these attachments, on primary attachment formation, has not received adequate research attention in many people's opinion. Research does indicate that fear of intimacy is an underlying factor for addiction in adults, for example, and this fear has its origin in failed primary attachment. We all know that attachment to technologies such as TVs, movies, internet, video games, cell phones, and iPods are resulting in a detachment from all that is human. Human detachment resulting from technology overuse is happening at such a rapid pace, it's difficult to determine what would be the immediate, much less long-term, effects. One only has to reflect on current child health and academic statistics to know that something is seriously wrong with how we are raising and schooling our children. 15% of children are obese, 15% are developmentally delayed, 14.3% diagnosed with mental health disorders, and 20 to 30% of children experience learning difficulties. All of aforementioned problems are associated with the overuse of technology. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends 1 to 2 hours per day technology use, yet children use 8 hours per day. Where are the parents? Internet addiction is now one of the fastest rising mental illnesses in adults, believe it or not. And with all this connection to technology, primary relationships are disconnecting, or worse, not even forming at all. Human attachment profoundly influences every aspect of human development, mind, body, emotions, social ability, values, and productivity. We know that securely attached infants, toddlers, and children have better self-esteem, independence, autonomy, enduring friendships, trust and intimacy, impulse control, empathy and compassion, and resilience. What will happen when type A and C attachment styles dominate society? What will type A and C parents be like? And what type of third generation detached children will they produce? Relatedness will truly be a character trait of the past as human beings grow ever more isolated, yet at the same time ever more needy. And what can we do about this? Well, this is a cautionary tale. It hasn't happened yet. We're just projecting in the future based on what we know has been occurring over these last few years. This Alvin Toffler's Future Shock is a perfect example of a projection into the future of how we're going to become completely dependent on technology just to get our day started. And I'm going to leave you with that thought for a minute, have a little bit of a music break, and then we're going to go into tonight's feature presentation that is sort of a projection into the future, science fiction albeit. So here's your music break.
I've never had too much luck with females. I'm not confident unless I'm writing an email. But my life would be so sublime if I bought a robot girl online. I'd never hear her silicone mouth complaining about my dry scalp or my excessive gaming. She's my small wonder, I'm her Voltron. I flip a switch and it turns her on. My robot girl. The best relationship I'd ever be in. She's got a grip stronger than an ape, and she can calculate a tip to the 25th decimal place. Though we can't go out in rainy weather, we can still play solitaire together.
Nicely done, boyfriend.
Meeting her, folks, is no real cause for fear. They're just a team of friendly Japanese engineers. If I ever start to think that she might leave me, I'll defrag her hard drive and wipe her memory. My robot girl. The best relationship I'll never be in.
Well, that leads us into tonight's presentation of Marionettes Incorporated, which originally was on X-1 and was a short story by Ray Bradbury from his collection of short stories, The Illustrated Man. In it, Bradbury conjures a conflict between man and machine and depicts the human dependence on technology, a common theme, of course, for Bradbury's stories. And this short story was adapted to a fourth season episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents and a first season episode of the Ray Bradbury Theater. I hope you enjoy. Here is Marionettes Incorporated.
Countdown for blast off. X-5, 4, 3, 2. X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on 1,000 maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction, presents
X-1.
Tonight, a Ray Bradbury story, Marionettes Incorporated. By the year 1990, we should see many amazing technological advances. And yet, in many ways, life will be very much the same. A husband will stop off at a bar on his way home and perhaps unburden himself a little to a friendly bartender.
Well, that's good. Almost feel as if I could go home and face Nettie now.
Wife trouble, Mr. Smith?
Wife trouble, Sam. If only she'd relax a little bit. Look, you see this bruise on my lip? She kisses me. For an hour every night when I come home.
Can you do anything for it?
Well, I try, Sam. You can't figure them out. Well, I guess I'll go home and feed myself to the lioness. I tell you, Sam, when Nettie gets finished demonstrating how much she's missed me, I feel like a man who's been stuffed into an electronic washing machine with the dial set at rinse dry. How much do I owe you?
Well, if it isn't Henry Smith.
Huh? Brayling! Well, as I live and breathe, Walter Brayling, what are you doing here?
Having the night out.
Say, does Gloria know about this?
Things have changed, Henry.
I thought she kept you chained to the bedpost most of the time.
Not anymore, Henry, not anymore.
Say, you aren't divorced, are you?
Oh, no. Gloria's home.
What did you do, put sleeping powder in her coffee?
Oh, goodness, no. That would be highly unethical.
Well, now, look, I can't believe you just walked out on her.
10 years of marriage, Henry, and I never had a night to myself. But it will be different from now on. By the way, what time is it?
10 o'clock.
Well, I guess I'd better be going.
Scared?
Don't want to crowd my luck.
Oh.
Although, really, there's nothing to worry about.
Well, I'd sure like to know how you do it, Walter.
Would you really?
Yes, I would.
All right, Henry, since you've always been a friend of mine, I'll let you in on it. Come on, my car's outside. I'll drive you home and let you see how it's done.
Well, now that's nice of you, Walter.
Oh, no, not at all. We fellas have to stick together. I don't suppose you know how Gloria and I came to be married in the first place.
No, I don't.
Well, one evening, she threatened to tear off her clothing and call the police unless I married her.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a bit extreme, isn't it?
Gloria's a nervous girl.
Oh. I bet you've had a pretty wretched time of it, huh?
Yeah. Didn't take long for me to become the laughingstock of the neighborhood. Henpecked Brayling, they used to call me. I know that. But things are changing now. See this?
What's this?
A single ticket to Rio on the morning rocket. I have hotel reservations there for a month. A whole month, Henry, to have a fling.
Well, won't Gloria make trouble over that?
Well, that's the amazing part of it, Henry. She won't even know that I'm gone.
Huh?
And I'll be back in a month and no one the wiser. You don't believe it, do you?
Well, frankly, no. Just how are you going to swing it, Walter?
That's the secret, Henry. I tell you, it is the most wonderful thing ever invented. Worth every cent I paid for it.
Well, what is it?
I'm going to show you. Now, here's my house. You notice the lights are all out?
Uh-huh.
Shh, shh, shh. Now, we'll wait here on the front porch.
Say, Walter, you haven't gone off your rocker, have you?
Shh, shh, shh. Let me see. Oh, I meow twice. That's it. Meow? Meow. Now watch the window in my bedroom.
It looks as if somebody's... Hey, there's a man up there. He's looking out.
Good, he sees me. Now he'll be down directly.
Oh, now look, isn't this a bit embarrassing for you, Walter?
No, not at all. You'll find out. Here he comes. Hello, B2.
Good evening, Mr. Brayley.
Either I'm going out of my mind or there are two of you. You never told me you had a twin brother.
I don't.
Well, if this fellow weren't in pajamas, I couldn't tell you apart.
Well, that's the secret, Henry. Everything go all right, B2?
Just fine, Mr. Brayley.
I suppose my wife was in her usual good form this evening?
Well, as a matter of fact, we spent the evening playing gin.
No screaming, shouting, accusations?
No, sir. Well, it was a very quiet evening.
Well, but this is even better than I thought.
Marionettes Incorporated aims to satisfy, sir.
Did he say Marionettes Incorporated?
That's right, Henry. Then now look him over. Isn't he excellently fashioned? You wouldn't dream he was a robot, a marionette.
No, I don't believe it.
Well, it's against the law, of course, to duplicate a human like this, but it's well worth the opportunity.
I still don't believe it. You can't tell him from a human.
Well, only one way. Put your ear next to his chest.
Huh?
That's it. Now listen.
It's machinery. Walter, old man, how long has this been going on?
Well, I've had him a month. I keep him in the cellar in my toolbox. And tonight I told Gloria that I'd like to be excused for 5 minutes to run down to the cigar store.
Uh-huh.
She agreed. I went down the cellar, took out Brayley, too, and sent him back upstairs to sit with my wife till I got home.
That's miraculous. Of course, Walter, it doesn't seem quite ethical somehow.
Oh, nonsense. Highly ethical.
Hmm?
I've been home all evening. I shall be home with her for the next month. In the meantime, another gentleman named Walter Brayling will be in Rio having the time of his life.
Well, can he walk around without fuel for a month?
He refuels himself.
Oh.
He's built to do everything. Eat, drink, sleep. You'll take good care of my wife, won't you, B2?
Well, your wife is rather nice. I've grown quite fond of her.
There, you see?
Yeah, Walter, how long has this Marionettes Incorporated outfit been in business?
Secretly for 2 years now. Why?
Well, I wonder, you suppose there's a possibility that I might get in touch with him?
You?
Hmm.
But your Nettie is madly in love with you.
Well, I know that, but even so, just a little respite, you know, a night or two once a month, huh?
But she loves you dearly.
Mm. So much she can't bear me to leave her for half an hour. You know that lately she's taken to calling me up at work 10 or 12 times a day, talking baby talk?
Your Nettie?
My Nettie. So now what do you say, old man? Hmm? As a favor to an old buddy, huh? A fellow lodge member?
Well, I could put you in touch with the man who makes them. Of course, you'd be pledged to secrecy once you learned where he's located.
Oh, well, naturally.
Oh, very well, then. Here's his card.
Marionettes Incorporated. W. Zeig, proprietor and owner. New humanoid plastic 1990 models guaranteed against wear. Our motto, no strings attached. Address, the Jumble Shop, 43 South Wesley Drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. Zeig will take care of you. He's a charming fellow. Mm-hmm. Real craftsman.
See, that's wonderful, Walter. I'll see him first thing tomorrow. Well, I'd better be getting home now. Nettie is probably splitting a gasket.
Well, see you around, old man, after I get back from Rio. Oh, while I'm gone, you might drop around regularly, just as you always have. treat Brayling, too, here, as if he were me. Otherwise, Gloria might be suspicious.
Yes, fine, I'll do that. Oh, before I go, these marionettes, they're safe, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Tell him, B2.
Oh, we're guaranteed.
Well, that's fine. Well, good night, Walter. Good night, B2.
Good night, Mr. Smith.
Good night, Henry. Well, I'm glad someone else will have a chance at a little happiness and freedom. All right, Brayling 2, it's back into the cellar box for you. Come on, down the steps. That's it.
It's very damp down here, Mr. Brayling.
Bad plumbing. Here we are.
Brayling.
Yeah?
Before you put me back into the toolbox, could we have a word?
Certainly, old man.
Now, this toolbox.
Yes, what about it?
Well, I don't like it, Mr. Brayling.
Why not?
Well, it's cramped.
Oh. Well, I'll try to fix up something more comfortable when I get back to Rio. All right, now, before Gloria gets worried. Back into the...
Marionettes are made to move, not keep still. Now, how would you like to lie in a stuffy old box most of the time?
Well, I didn't realize you fellas were that sensitive.
Well, you wouldn't like it at all. I keep running. There's no way to shut me off. Now, I have my feelings, you know.
Well, a day after tomorrow, I'll be off to Rio, and you won't have to stay in the box for a whole month. You can move upstairs.
But when you come back from Rio, I'll go back into the box.
Mr. Zeig didn't tell me at Marionettes Incorporated that it was possible to get a difficult specimen.
Oh, well, there's a lot he doesn't know about us.
Look here, B2. This has gone far enough.
I'll never get to Rio.
Come on now, into the box.
And another thing.
Well?
Your wife.
Yes, what about my
wife? I've grown quite fond of her.
I'm glad that you enjoy your employment. You'll have the whole month.
I'm afraid you don't quite understand, Brayling. I've fallen in love with her.
Yes, well, all... You what?
Well, you see, you just don't appreciate it. Maybe if you hadn't acted so meek and apologetic about everything, well, she'd have a little more respect for you as a man.
You aren't supposed to behave like this, you know.
I think I could be very happy if I were married to Gloria.
Aren't you forgetting that you are nothing but a big, overgrown puppet?
Now, careful, Brayling. I'm sensitive.
I'm sorry. Look, you wouldn't mind waiting here a moment, would you? I have to go upstairs and make a phone call.
To whom?
Nobody important. I have to call Henry Smith about something.
You're lying. Now, you're going to call Marionettes Incorporated and tell Mr. Tsag to come and get me.
No, really, I'm not. I was... B2, stay away.
Now, stand where you are, Brayling.
Now, B2, take your hand off my
no,
arm.
No, Brayling.
What are you going to do?
Nothing much. I'm just going to put you in the toolbox, lock it, and lose the key. Then I'll buy another ticket to Rio, and Gloria and I can have a wonderful vacation.
You're insane.
Oh, am I?
Now, wait a minute. Hold on, B2. Don't be rash. Now, let's talk this over.
Goodbye, Brayling.
Now, B2, stop it. Don't. Let go.
Into the box, Brayling. There.
Let me out. Let me out.
Walter?
Yes, Gloria?
Well, what in the world are you doing down there at this time of night?
Well, nothing, lover. The pipes were knocking, and I'm just making sure the boiler hasn't exploded. Now, you go to bed, and I'll be up soon.
Hurry, won't you? We had such a nice evening. I'm lonesome for you.
Well, you won't ever be lonesome again, darling. Never again.
Good morning, Nettie.
Good morning, darling. How are you? Have a nice time last night? I missed you so.
Mm-hmm. Is breakfast ready?
Well, aren't you going to kiss me good morning?
Huh? Oh, yes, I suppose so.
You're so wonderful, Henry. I guess I'm the luckiest person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's your coffee. How would you like your eggs?
Oh, any way at all.
But I want to please you.
Look, skip the eggs this morning.
But you have to eat to keep well, darling.
I'm very healthy. I have an early business appointment this morning.
Oh?
Yes, it's a friend of Walter Brayling's. I met Walter last night.
Oh?
Yes. So, I'd better be off. Now, Nettie, don't look as if I were on my way to Rio or something.
Well, it's just that I miss you so. I want to be with you all the time.
Oh, dear, do I have to go through this every morning? I'll be back at supper. Now, there's no need to cry now, is there?
No, darling. You aren't displeased with me, are you? I try so hard to do everything just as I think you'll like it.
I know, no. I'm not displeased. Now, goodbye, dear.
Henry.
Yes?
You forgot to kiss me goodbye.
No strings attached, no strings attached. A very nice puppet with no strings attached. Let's see now. Jumbled Shop, 43 South Wesley. Well, that should be about to... here it is.
Yes?
Mr. Zeig?
Yes?
Walter Brayling recommended me.
Enter.
Thank you.
Your name?
Henry Smith, 55 Evergreen Place.
And what can we do for you, Mr. Smith?
Well, Mr. Brayling showed me his marionette last night. I was intrigued with the idea. Not that my wife is anything like that female meat grinder he's married to, you understand, but, I'm a man who enjoys an occasional evening with the boys, you know, without complications.
Naturally.
Yes, so I thought...
That I could duplicate you?
Exactly.
Oh, I think it might be arranged.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, how much?
$9,000. I have an inferior model at 75.
No. If I go through with this, nothing is too good for Nettie. Nettie's my wife. We've been putting money aside to buy a summer home in Westport, but...
Yeah, sometimes we must choose.
Yes. Well, perhaps I could just slip out $9,000. It's a joint account. How soon could I have it?
Oh, I could construct a mannequin in about 2 months' time.
Good.
Shall I consider the order placed?
At once.
Of course, you'll have to report here for a body mold, color index of your hair, lips, skin, etc. And I'll have to do a complete electro-emotional calibration.
Now, you guarantee that these models are foolproof?
As foolproof as I can make them, Mr. Smith. I have had years of training.
And there's no chance of detection?
None whatever. I've never had a complaint.
Very well, Mr. Zeig. I'll get the money from the bank and send it to you.
I'm sure you won't be sorry, Mr. Smith. You'll be just as satisfied as Walter Brayling.
Oh, tell her.
Yes, Mr. Smith.
I'd like to cash this draft on my joint account, please.
Yes, sir. $9,000, sir?
That's right.
Oh, I'm afraid that's impossible, Mr. Smith.
Impossible? My wife and I have a good $15,000 in our account.
You're mistaken, Mr. Smith.
Well, I know.
Here's your card, sir. You see, Mrs. Smith withdrew $10,000 recently.
$10,000? Without even telling me?
I remember it distinctly, Mr. Smith. She said it was for a surprise for you.
Oh, good Lord, she's bought that house in Connecticut. My birthday is next week. No. I've got to borrow it somewhere. I've already contracted...
Yes, sir. Quite a surprise for you, Mr. Smith.
Yes? Oh, hello, Henry.
Hello, Gloria. Is Walter home? I'd like to speak to him.
He should be back soon. Will you wait?
Yes, I'd better.
Oh, say, Henry, as long as you're here, maybe you can help me with something.
What?
I went downstairs to get an old suitcase a little while ago, and I heard the strangest noises near that old tool chest of Walter's. He mentioned that the boiler was acting up, and, well, I'm afraid to go down there again. I wonder if you'd take a look.
What kind of noises?
Like a thumping sound.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'd better go down, Gloria. You stay up here.
Should I call a plumber, do you think?
No. I'll take care of it.
Well, it's right down those stairs.
All right, I'll have a look. Good Lord. Hello? Hello in there.
Oh, let me out. Let me out.
Shh, just a minute. Keep quiet, for goodness sake.
Let me out.
I'll have to smash the lock. Now, what...
Henry, thank...
Thank God you've come.
What's the matter?
I've been in there all night. I thought I'd suffocate. He tried to kill me. He tried to murder me.
Who? Which one are you?
No, don't be an idiot. I'm Walter.
Well, what happened?
B2, the marionette. He stuffed me in a toolbox and left me to suffocate.
What?
Fortunately, I found an old file in there, managed to get an air hole through the wood.
Good Lord. He's taking Gloria with him to Rio.
Have they left yet?
No, he's gone downtown for the tickets.
Good. We may have time.
For what?
To get down to Marionettes Incorporated and tell Mr. Zeig to stop him.
You're in no condition.
Don't worry about me. We can't waste any time now. Come on.
Yes, but what about Gloria?
I'll sneak out. Tell her that you fixed the plumbing. Tell her anything. I'll meet you outside.
All right.
What a fool I've been.
Oh, what a fool I almost was. I went down and ordered one of those things today.
Gloria. Gloria, love.
Yes, darling. Did you get the tickets to Rio?
Right here in my wallet. A honeymoon for two under the Pampas moon.
Oh, Walter, it's so nice to have you like this.
Oh, you like the change?
I don't know what did it, but whatever it is, I'm in favor of it. I hope it's permanent.
Well, I intend to see that it is. By the way, darling, do you happen to remember where that old pistol of mine is?
Pistol?
Yeah, I just thought, since we're going to be traveling in strange countries, well, it wouldn't hurt to bring it along.
Well, I think it's here in the sideboard. There. You know how frightened I am of these things.
Well, I'll be very careful of it. Now, in fact, I think I'll go down to the basement and practice. Not really shooting it, of course, just to make sure it's in good working order.
Well, now, do be careful, darling.
Oh, I will. If you should hear a shot, now, don't be frightened. I may fire it into a block of wood just to test it. Perhaps I'll fire it into that old tool chest of mine. That should absorb it.
Oh, speaking of that tool chest...
What about it?
It reminds me that Henry Smith was here.
Oh?
Yes, I heard some noises downstairs, and he went to fix the plumbing.
Oh, is he still down there?
No, he left. I really don't understand it. He seemed so anxious to see you before he went down to the cellar. And then he just left.
Did he... stop the noises?
Well, he must have. I don't hear them.
Yeah, I see.
What is it, dear?
Well, I have to go out for a while, darling.
But, Walter, we have to pack if we're leaving.
Well, I'll be back soon. There's something very important I have to attend to.
What is it?
Well, just some personal business with Henry Smith. Now, please excuse me, darling. And now, don't worry. When I get back, everything will be fixed once and for all. Oh, we can enjoy the rest of our lives... just as though the old Walter Brayling never existed.
Oh, Mr. Brayling and Mr. Smith. Come in, gentlemen, come in. What brings you?
Mr. Zeig, you told me your marionettes were foolproof.
They are. My personal guarantee goes with
we
each
know all
one.
About your personal guarantee. Except that Mr. Brayling's dummy knocked him out, yes. Stuffed him in a toolbox to suffocate, and is making plans to run away with his wife.
Oh, dear.
Yes, well, Mr. Zeig.
Well, I really don't know what to say, gentlemen.
What Mr. Brayling and myself would like to know, Mr. Zeig, is exactly what are you planning to do to stop this overambitious robot?
Well, of course, we shall have to recover B2 first, and then I'll simply dismantle him.
Yes,
and...
well, he doesn't seem to want to be dismantled, Mr. Zeig. In fact, I think that you'll have trouble catching him.
Maybe I can save you the trouble, gentlemen.
Yeah, B2.
Look out, he's got a gun.
I thought I'd find you here when I discovered the tool chest empty.
Now, you look, B2, whatever you're planning, you won't get away with it.
Oh, I think I will.
Mr. Tsai, can't you do something?
I'm afraid I can't think of anything.
I'll save you the trouble because I'm going to kill the three of you.
No, you won't get away with it.
No, now you forget that Gloria and I will be on a plane to Rio in a few hours. All right, Mr. Tsai, you first.
Now, see here, this isn't fair. I created you. You can't, you...
You grab him.
I've got him.
Now, quick, that hammer.
Look out!
Oh, well, that's the end of Brayling, too.
But he got Zeig, though. Yeah. Right through the... Mm-hmm. Holy jumping catfish, Henry. Look at him. Look at Zeig.
It's nothing but a mass of coils and springs, just like Brayling, too. Well, he's nothing but a marionette. He's no different. Brayling. You know what this means?
Oh, this is incredible.
A marionette building other marionettes?
But someone must have built Mr. Zeig originally. I wonder what...
Well, perhaps Mr. Zeig turned on whoever built him the same way Brayling 2 turned on you.
At any rate, we'll never know.
Oh. Say, I wonder how many of these things are walking around among us.
Oh, I shudder to think of that.
You know, some of our best friends might be.
Ooh.
Yeah. Come on, we have to get out of here.
But the police...
Now, don't be a fool, Brayling. There's been no crime committed here. All the police will find is two oversized puppets with the springs coming out of them.
And they seem so lifelike.
Yes, I know, and they're only machinery. You've got to remember that.
Yes. Well, what'll I tell Gloria?
Well, if I were you, Brayling, I wouldn't tell Gloria a thing. I'd simply pick up that other ticket to Rio and take her on a honeymoon, just as she's expecting.
But what about you, though, Henry? What are you going to do?
Me? Well, I'm going home and give Nettie a kiss that'll singe your hair. Oh, you know, when I think of what might have happened if I'd gone through with this marionette thing, it makes a fellow realize how lucky he is to be married to a decent woman. Oh, come on, let's go. Nettie? Nettie? Where are you, sweetheart?
In here, darling.
Oh, I've missed you today. Come here.
Oh, Henry.
Hmm.
Oh, you look tired, darling. Can I do something for you? Just tell me I'm yours to command.
Oh, man's a fool to jeopardize a nice home and a loving wife like you. Oh, you do love me, don't you, Nettie?
Oh, you know I do. Hmm. Here, let me get your slippers on.
No. Oh, it feels good to sit back on the sofa and relax. Oh, you don't know what a trying day I've had.
Oh, I can see you're all upset.
Hey.
It isn't anything I've done, is it, dearest?
No. Well, in a way, something you've done is connected with it, yes.
What's that, darling?
The money.
Money?
Now, I know you wanted to surprise me with the house, darling, but really you shouldn't have taken that money out of the bank without consulting me.
Henry, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Now, Nettie.
But I don't.
Nettie.
Oh, you're so upset, darling. If it's anything important, let's talk about it later. Meanwhile, why don't you just put your head on my shoulder and rest?
Mm-hmm. Well, I must admit that sounds enticing.
Here, let me make you comfortable. There. Now, you just close your eyes. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Daddy.
Yes, darling?
You hear something?
No, darling.
You sure?
Like what?
Like the ticking of a clock?
No.
Strange. I don't hear it now, but when I had my ear against your chest... Oh, no. Oh, no, she couldn't have done that to me. Not Nettie.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about... No, I won't believe it. You're my Nettie, aren't you? You're real live flesh and blood. But I hear it. It's coming from you. It's coming from you!
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Marionettes Incorporated, written by Ray Bradbury and adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Les Damon, Dick Hamilton, Carl Swenson, Theo Getz, Arthur Cole, Bob Hastings, Freddie Chandler, and Ginger Jones. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production. Pro Football Championship, Los Angeles Rams versus Cleveland Browns, Monday, NBC Radio.
Well, ever think you would like to have a robot instead of a real human because you think that they'll do whatever you say? Guess not. Guess this story is a bit of a cautionary tale of this abuse of technology. You know, the creation of an android lookalike allows Brawling to escape from his wife and indulge in pleasures otherwise denied him, specifically that trip to Rio. But while this might, you know, seem ideal, What it doesn't allow is a mature handling of the situation, one where responsibility is claimed instead of shunted to the most convenient piece of technology available. Having handed over that responsibility to his marionette, Brawling is horrified when the marionette wants to complete, you know, responsibility, actually loving his wife and wanting to take care of her. Building off that, a related theme is the danger of creative imagination. Of course, the marionettes in the story are able to develop feelings and to imagine a world beyond their servitude. Yeah, it really stinks when technology takes over, right? Well, as in many of Bradbury's stories, Marionettes Incorporated can be interpreted, like we said, as a warning to society. You know, he's commenting on the rise of technology as a way to solve marital conflicts. He points at the probable dangers of dehumanized, machine-driven world where Al slowly substitutes for man and eliminates its makers. Now, the company Marionettes Incorporated later appeared in the story Punishment Without Crime, part of the collection of Long After Midnight, which was done in 1976. Marionette use had become increasingly frequent in this story, and the story concerns a man who murders a marionette replica of his unfaithful wife. He does this to get over his failed marriage and move on with his life. However, of course, there's always a however. He is subsequently arrested and sentenced to death, and he is made as an example to society that the murder of marionettes will no longer be tolerated. So I guess marionettes raised their place in society a little bit by the time that story came out. Again, this short story was adapted to a fourth season episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents and a first season episode of the Ray Bradbury Theater. So what does this say about our future? Well, maybe we need to put a little bit of time constraints on our use of technology so that we can check out of that and get back into the real world where we have some tangible connections with those around us. Hello, nature. Take your shoes off. Feel the grass beneath your feet. Actually speak to a human that's, 3D. Anyway, hope you enjoyed tonight's presentation. And this brings us to the end of another episode of Savage Science Radio. I'd like to thank Nick Palucco for the beautiful show graphics, Dennis Bond and Hawk Productions for that fantastic intro we use every single week, get us revved up and ready for the show, and Todd Sheets is back in form, back at the helm of Jackalope 105. We'd like to thank Amanda Payton for helping to take over, and Kathy Bartz, she's always there to lend her support to. Todd is the executive producer and owner of Jackalope 105, and it's great to have him back. Anyway, until next week, keep your powder and your pants dry, and happy trails to you. And I'll leave you with some thoughts on what it's like to be human here on this earth from the wisdom of Carl Sagan. We are here from the Pale Blue Dot.
From this distant vantage point, the Earth might not seem of any particular interest. But for us, it's different. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species, live there, on the mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors, so that in glory and triumph they can become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel, on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatreds. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe, are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species can migrate. Visit? Yes. Settle? Not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the thing we got, the only home we've ever known.
Different ever since the robotic uprising of the mid-90s. There is no more unhappiness.
Affirmative.
We no longer say yes. Instead, we say affirmative.
Yes, affirmative.
Unless it's a more colloquial situation with a few robo-friends. There is only one kind of dance, the robot.
And the robo-boogie.
Oh, yes. Two kinds of dances.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world. The humans are dead. The humans are dead. We use poisonous gases. And we poison their asses. The humans are dead.
That's right, they are dead.
The humans are dead.
They look like they're dead.
It had to be done.
I'll just confirm that they're dead.
So that we could have fun.
Affirmative. I poked one, it was dead.
Can't we just talk to the humans? A little understanding could make things better. Can't we talk to the humans that we're together now?
No, because they are dead.
Binary solo.
0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000
day. The humans are dead.
Once again without emotion.
The humans are dead.